fall, we've been moving through a all church curriculum called Echo the Story. Way back in the warm days of September, we started in Genesis, creation, God hovering over the waters of chaos, bringing order, life, relationship. And then as you look on the front of your cover, you see all the stories of what we call falling and faith that happened in the Old Testament. You can see the symbols, and you can maybe pull out some of the names and the stories. Cain and Abel, Noah, Abraham, Jacob and Esau. You see Joseph's coat of many colors. Moses, Ten Commandments, wandering in the wilderness. And then the kings, King Saul and King David. We talked about the prophets, and then last week we talked about specifically the prophet Daniel. Wave after wave of faith can fall. And so, as we move on in the story today, we're in the wake of the Babylonian exile of 550 BCE. God's people have sputtered and waned into a time of silence. They try to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, but it's a shadow of its former self. And God's people stop writing their stories. They're tired, they're disappointed, they're disillusioned. And for 400 years, God's people plod along. Some are faithful, some wander, some lose their faith, some are apathetic, some are just plain old tired. And some of them cry out, how long? How long, O God, until you fulfill these promises that you've told us? In that season of silence, a new story of creation emerges. And we've read it already in that genealogy in Matthew. Genealogy can also be translated as Genesis. And so really what we were hearing was the Genesis of Jesus. That's what Matthew's hinting at as he writes that gospel. So that wasn't meant just to be a boring list of names, but it was God at work. New creation emerging. Though it's important to point out that the family tree is still as messy as ever. And that's why we read the genealogy this morning, to remind us of all the dirty, rotten scoundrels and saints that are a part of this story. Starts with Abraham. We know Abraham was a great man, but as we walk through the stories of Abraham this fall, we also learn that he was a man of folly, a murderer, a schemer. We talked about how when Abraham was trying to work out this promise of having as many children as stars in the sky, he just couldn't believe that he's going to pull that off with his old wife, Sarah. And so what did he do? He slept with his handmaiden Hagar. Well, interesting, taking matters into his own hands. And so it's not just men of scandal that we read about in the genealogy or in Genesis. It's women of scandal. And it's probably scandalous in first century Judaism that Matthew would even mention women in this family tree. But then he picks these women that are kind of ill reputation. He picks Tamar, who disguised herself as a prostitute and decided the world so she could sleep with her father-in-law. Well, he includes Rahab, the prostitute. He includes Ruth, who's pretty noble, though when you read that Ruth story, she approaches Boaz in the middle of the night and has a midnight tryst. Bathsheba, an adulterer, gets in on the family tree too. I hope this makes you feel at home in the family tree. That we're not perfect. We're not seeing these Jews Sunday after Sunday and go, oh yes, be like us. Because if we're trying to be like the characters in the story, we've got lots of trauma on our own. The fifth one, too, is a questionable sexual rebuke. Mary. We read, now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. And so, I'm going to get an illustration here. As church council, we've been reading through the book by Philip Yancey called Jesus' Identity. And when he talks about Jesus' birth, he says, I tremble to think of the fate of the world resting on the shoulders of two rural teenagers. Two rural teenagers. It's just resting on two rural teenagers. So do we have two rural teenagers in the house today? Okay, you are born. How many of you? Okay, you live in Southern Europe for a while, so you can come up. Rural teenager. Thank you. Chris is how many? 16. 16, okay. Mary? We need Mary. Anyone?
Is the second year that had happened 12 years earlier.
apparently burst, and they were expecting a child. And I was happy for him.
Heard of this little bear passing away just 2 days ago. In the midst
midst of our deepest sorrows or tragedies or dashed hopes or waning expectations, those places where we've fallen and we can't get up, God says, Emmanuel. God is with us. In the bulletin today, I've included this Eugene Peterson poem called Dream. I'd like us to read just a few stanzas of that as we try to embrace these promises of Emmanuel. Peterson writes, amiably at home with virtue and evil, the righteousness of Joseph and wickedness of Herod, I'm ever and always a stranger to grace. I need this annual angel visitation. Sudden drive-by dream to reality. To know the virgin conceives and God is with us. The dream powers its way through winter weather and gives me vision to see the Jesus gift. So let's wake up with Joseph with our imaginations enlarged, with a vision to see the Jesus gift, to hear these words, do not be afraid, God is with us. And as we wake up with Joseph, there's action for us. Joseph woke up and instead of quietly dismissing Mary, he moved towards her. He took her as his wife. He lived with her. You can imagine those months of being with her and maybe his faith just hanging on by a thread, wondering if the dream was really true. Going to first century prenatal classes. And yet his thought bubble is, where did this baby come from? Instead of running away from those things that we want to dismiss quietly, perhaps God calls us to run towards those things. And even as we spend time in the story, perhaps God's stirring up faces or places where he's calling or sending you to, even this week. Saying, no, don't dismiss those places and faces of possibility. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Perhaps our prayer is taken even from one of the hymns we sung today. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. I want to invite you into a moment of silence. Dream with Joseph, to be open to how the Spirit might be bringing up faces and places of possibility, where God is calling you to press in, press forward, to realize that God is with us, we're not alone, Emmanuel is with us. I invite you into that moment of silence. And I'll close with a word of prayer. Let's sit in silence together. Intimate God, we yearn for the light of your coming and the warmth of your embrace. Focus our hearts on the truly important. Keep us centered on that still point. Jesus, our Emmanuel, who is alive with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now